Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, June 13th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Part of downtown Sitka was blocked off to vehicle traffic on Wednesday. It's part of an experiment to see if portions of Lincoln Street might operate well as a pedestrian mall when cruise ships are in town. Although the closure wasn't well advertised, it's long been on the minds of a group interested in revitalizing Sitka's Main Street. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports on who benefited from the experiment and who may have not.
Kaya Elstad sits in front of the Baranoff Island Artists Cooperative on Lincoln Street. She's drawing on white paper with black ink.
I am. I've got a little mermaid sketch going on. I'll throw some watercolors at her and brighten her up a little bit.
Her chair and a table displaying her artwork are in the street, which is closed to vehicles in this block. Other artists and vendors are also displaying their work out here in hopes of attracting tourists who will buy. Susanna Schwarz is visiting from San Juan, Puerto Rico. She approaches a display on Elstad's table.
Is this just for decoration in the home or
anywhere you want? I've had people put them on Christmas trees.
I've had them.
I put them in the window.
Schwarz doesn't buy anything, but she says she really likes having all the vendors out on the street.
It seems to be that that they have a variety of things here, and they have some local artists, artisans. Working as well.
Is it cool to have it on the street as opposed to
yes.
In the stores?
Yeah, it is. It's much better. People are going to see more things. They're going to be more attracted.
Having the street closed to vehicles and the vendors set up outside is an experiment being conducted by Sitka's Downtown Revitalization Group, which formed after a health summit last fall. Improving the look and feel of Sitka's downtown was chosen as one of the summit's goals. Cindy Gibson organized Wednesday's pedestrian mall.
For a couple of reasons. One is to just encourage more time in the downtown area and more shopping. And maybe, you know, when you have a more of a unique, one-of-a-kind experience while you're traveling, you're more inclined to maybe shop, you know, for something a little more expensive or a little more meaningful.
Gibson says the feedback she'd received as of midday Wednesday was largely positive, that vendors were excited to be outside in the sun and that they were seeing more visitors than had they stayed indoors. That said, it's not yet a perfect system. Tour buses had to be rerouted, so did the community ride, and despite a letter to the editor in the newspaper announcing the dates, the closure of this block and a half was not really heavily advertised.
I'm getting a lot of feedback that it was a surprise to a lot of people, so we didn't do a good enough job on that, and I do apologize to people for that. So we are going to work really hard this next coming up week to let people know the future dates. There's just three more Wednesdays.
The next three, in fact, June 19th, June 26th, and July 3rd. Elstad, back at her table in front of the Baranoff Island Artists Co-op, says that's fine with her. As the bells at nearby St. Michael's Cathedral begin to mark noon, Elstad says she has kept plenty busy.
Being able to interact with the people and them being able to see what we're doing and being out on the street has increased our sales for the day.
And the street makes a difference?
Yes, it absolutely makes a difference.
Behind the church, of course, there's another half of downtown where the street is not closed. Ruth McMaster runs Winter Song Soap Company from a storefront here, and Doug Dabrowski is next door selling jewelry from his business, Eclipse Designs.
It's really quiet over here, and then we walk around the corner, and there's like hundreds of people, but they don't really seem to make it past the church,
yeah.
You know?
And there's more to town than just that side of the church.
Both say closing the street is not a bad idea, but they wish that all of downtown could be included, even if that can't happen all at once.
Well, if they could, and I know they can't, trade off and have this be a closed section as well.
Right.
And maybe have, you know, the buses not drop off down at that end of town.
Gibson says the Downtown Revitalization Group plans to have meetings to figure out whether closing Lincoln Street worked, or at least how to improve it. One of the goals, in addition to boosting commerce for downtown merchants, is to attract tourists back to Sitka for a longer stay than the few hours of shore time they get from a cruise. That sounds ideal to Susanna Schwarz, the visitor from Puerto Rico.
But next time, I usually don't go on cruises, though.
Yeah.
I would, like, stay in the town for a day, a night or two nights, and then go to some other place. You know, that's what I usually would do.
The Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau had an unmanned table set up on Wednesday with brochures and cards telling visitors how easy it is to get back to Sitka. Schwarz says it might not be a bad idea out here on the street among artists and food vendors to add a few travel agents, too. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Starting this fall, the University of Alaska Southeast Sitka campus will be inheriting a new degree program. The UAS Fisheries Technology Program will be coming to Sitka from Ketchikan. Campus directors say the move will allow students to take advantage of some great facilities in the new location. KCAW's Eric Newman reports.
At the Sitka Sound Science Center, employees are busy checking the water system as they get ready to open a new exhibit about salmon. Students are wandering around the building during a workshop called Getting Kids Excited About Science. But the salmon exhibit isn't the only thing coming to the Science Center. This fall, the UAS Fisheries Technology Program will relocate to this beachfront on the edge of downtown Sitka.
Right here on the water with three hatcheries, we're ideally suited for the fish tech program.
That's Jeff Johnston, the campus director with the University of Alaska Southeast.
This is the largest industry in Alaska, with over, right now, around 80,000 individuals employed in the industry. So it's a growing industry. It's one of our posters called it a booming industry.
The Fish Tech program in Sitka will offer a two-year associate degree or a one-year certificate in fish culture or fisheries management. Students get skills for jobs like hatchery technicians, field biologists, fish culturists, or fisheries observers. And it's a good fit for the Science Center, which, in addition to the aquarium, operates a full-scale salmon hatchery.
Well, the Science Center and the SJ Hatchery are going to be used really as the kind of the facility on the ground to offer the ability to have students come here and actually get their hands wet and their feet wet.
Lon Garrison is the aquaculture and facilities director at the Science Center, and he'll be teaching classes with the Fisheries Technology Program this fall. Garrison says Sitka offers a lot of opportunities to expand on the current fish tech curriculum.
So we're standing in the incubation room, and the incubators that we use are the same incubators that are used all over Alaska for especially pink and chum salmon.
While we're talking, Garrison walks around the building, pointing out areas that will be used for classes. Big green tanks filled with schools of salmon fry, deep metal sinks where students harvest eggs, and the fish ladder and collecting pools where they'll round up the returning salmon. Garrison also points out a few other ways the facility will help get students ready for jobs in the field.
They're not just going to be dealing with fish. They're going to be working with a lot of PVC. They're going to be working with pumps. They're going to be working with some electricity.
And that's the difference between the Fish Tech program and a Bachelor's of Science program. This is about doing.
The Bachelor of Science program really focuses on the science end of things, right? Learning the biology, and all that's really important. But part of what we do at the Fish Tech program is more of the hands-on stuff.
In addition to hands-on work, the UAS Fisheries Technology program offers e-learning classes for students interested in working from home. The Fish Tech program starts in the fall, with applications due in the beginning of August. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Eric Newman.
The Federal Rural Development Agency wants to work with local nonprofit groups to help low-income Alaskans buy homes. Tammy Trevino runs the agency's rural housing program. She says it does not have the staff to reach and help all those seeking assistance.
So by partnering with nonprofits who are already in those areas, it allows more access to our programs for folks who might not otherwise know about them.
Trevino met with potential partners and other officials in Ketchikan and Sitka last weekend. She says local groups would screen and educate applicants. Those found eligible would also get help with loan paperwork. She says the agency's housing assistance programs have strict standards.
They are limited by the amount of repayment ability. So we are assured that no one is buying a home that's above their means.
Trevino says the nonprofits would charge a fee to cover costs, which would become part of their mortgage. The state has a similar housing program. Trevino and Alaska Rural Development Director Jim Norland also transferred funds that had been awarded to a now-closed Sitka College.
We had a $500,000 grant to Sheldon Jackson for the Rasmussen Student Center, which we were going to transfer over to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, because the original grant was for an educational purpose, and that's exactly what Sacred Flame Arts does as well.
Sheldon Jackson trustees turned most of the campus over to the camp in 2011. We have a link to the Rural Development Housing Program posted on our website, kcaw.org. Birders, biologists, carvers, and kids gathered in Yakutat recently for the Northern Southeast Community's annual Tern Festival. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld assembled this audio postcard of the event, which celebrates the return of one variety, the Aleutian tern.
My name is Susan Ehlers. I'm a wildlife biologist with the Forest Service here in Yakutat.
Why terns?
We have one of the highest populations, pretty easily accessible. So we thought that's what would set us apart from other festivals.
Oh, it's kind of warm.
My name is Teresa Hunt, and I work for the Forest Service. And my job is to coordinate with kids and do the kids' activities.
You touch your shirts, you need to have gloves.
Tell me what they're doing now.
They're tie-dyeing t-shirts. So each child gets a white Tern Festival t-shirt with the Tern Festival logo on the back of it. And most of the kids chose to do swirl patterns and bullseyes. So that's what they're doing.
Remember how in the video that you did the pies to do the swirls? To make it swirly, you went from the center out and did pie shapes.
And that was an audio postcard from the Yakutat Tern Festival. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And now a look at Sitka's own weather. It's currently 49 degrees downtown at the Cable House. Today, expect areas of low clouds and fog with isolated showers in the morning. Mostly cloudy in the afternoon. Highs 55 to 65. Tonight, mostly cloudy with areas of fog. Lows around 47. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.